He was in the cookie department, comparing the ingredients in fudge macaroons to those in pineapple coconut almond bars, trying to decide which was the lesser dietary sin, when the fit hit him. On the scale of such things, it was not much of a fit. No convulsions, no violent muscle contractions, no sudden rivers of sweat, no speaking in strange tongues. He just abruptly turned to a woman chopper next to him and said, "Lifeline." She was about 30, wearing shorts and a halter top, good-looking enough to have experienced a wearying array of come-ons from men, so perhaps she thought he was making a pass at her. She gave him a guarded look. "Excuse me?" "Flow with it," he told himself. "Don't be afraid." He began to shudder, not because of the air conditioning, but because a series of inner chills swam through him like a wriggling school of eels. All the strength went out of his hands, and he dropped the packages of cookies. Embarrassed but unable to control himself, he repeated, "Lifeline." "I don't understand," the woman said. Although this had happened to him 9 times before, he said, "Neither do I." She clutched a box of vanilla wafers as though she might throw it in his face and run if she decided he was a walking headline. "Berserk man shoots 6 in supermarket." Nevertheless, she was enough of a good Samaritan to hang in for another exchange. "Are you all right?" No doubt he was pale. He felt as if all the blood had drained out of his face. He tried to put on a reassuring smile, knew it was a ghastly grimace, and said, "Gotta go." Turning away from his shopping cart, Jim walked out of the market into the searing August heat. The 40-degree temperature change momentarily locked the breath in his lungs. The blacktop in the parking lot was tacky in places. Sun silvered the windshields of the cars and seemed to shatter into dazzling splinters against chrome bumpers and grills. He went to his Ford. It had air conditioning, but even after he had driven across the lot and turned onto Crown Valley Parkway, the draft from the dashboard vents was refreshing only by comparison with the baking oven atmosphere in the car. He put down his window. Initially, he did not know where he was going. Then, he had a vague feeling that he should return home. Rapidly, the feeling became a strong hunch. The hunch became a conviction, and the conviction became a compulsion. He absolutely had to get home. He drove too fast, weaving in and out of traffic, taking chances, which was uncharacteristic of him. If a cop had stopped him, he would not have been able to explain his desperate urgency, for he did not understand it himself. It was as if his every move was orchestrated by someone unseen, controlling him much the way that he controlled the car. Again, he told himself to flow with it, which was easy since he had no choice. He also told himself not to be afraid, but fear was his unshakable companion.